Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Kissing Games by Stephanie London, narrated by Catherine Lyndhurst. Chapter 1. Ryan Bauer had a lot of reasons to wake up in the middle of the night. Being a superstar major league pitcher with a busted knee and a contract about to expire was one reason. Being 35 and watching his games get taken over by a 20-year-old prodigy was another. He'd even had the occasional nightmare about walking onto the diamond in front of thousands with his pants around his ankles. All normal reasons to be blinking into the darkness. Squeaking bed springs, however, were not a reason to be waking up in the middle of the night, especially when those bed springs belonged to his parents. Ryan cringed as he swung his legs over the edge of his bed and planted his bare soles against the worn, wooden floorboards of his childhood home. Outside, insects chirruped and tree branches scratched against his window, disturbed by the breeze. Squeak, squeak, squeak. Lord help him. He took a step forward, his movement slightly stiffer than usual thanks to a torn ACL, which was in the latter stages of recovery and the very reason he was even in his parents' house right now, having to listen to this torture. Raking a hand through his hair, Ryan pulled on a t-shirt and a pair of sweats and walked out of his bedroom and into the hallway, where a thin beam of light shone from under his parents' doorway. Squeak, squeak, squeak. Oh, come off it, he muttered, wrinkling his nose. Okay, sure. He was glad his parents were still in love, because he'd definitely prefer it over the alternative. But he really, really didn't want to listen to the intricacies of them being in love. And since brain bleach wasn't a thing, there was a high chance that this would scar him for life. Yes, Alfie, his mother cried out. Like in Chapter 21. Chapter 21? What kind of books were they reading? Ryan contemplated pounding on their door and telling them to keep it down, but frankly, the thought of hearing even a second more of whatever the hell they were doing was way too much to handle. He headed into the living room and went out the back door, almost tripping over himself in his hurry to get outside. What had happened in the time he'd been away? His sweet, mild-mannered parents had turned into horny college kids. Ryan scrubbed a hand over his face. The worst thing was that this was the third night in a row, and Ryan had only been back in Kissing Creek for 3 days. That was a 100% hit rate. No pun intended. The first night, he'd popped one of the sleeping pills he kept for long-haul travel, and then the next morning, he'd acted like nothing had happened. Last night, he'd stuffed a pillow over his head and made sure he was out of the house early so he didn't have to watch his mother humming up a storm as she made breakfast. Maybe it was time to book himself a room at the local bed and breakfast. The only reason he hadn't done that in the first place was because he wanted to keep a low profile. Also, if he came back to Kissing Creek and didn't stay at home, his mother would disown him. However, his low profile had been blown on day one when some kid studying at the local college had spotted him at a cafe, because Ryan wasn't human until he'd had his daily double shot. He'd been sure the low-slung Boston Celtics cap and sunglasses would have kept his identity hidden. Apparently not. Now he'd been badgered into giving the college baseball team a special visit and pep talk. Normally, he'd be all over something like that. He loved encouraging young players and inspiring them to work hard for their dreams. But right now, nursing a bad knee and a bruised ego, he wanted to bury his head in the sand and pretend the baseball world wasn't rotating without him. Too bad the rest of the season was gone. His best season. At least, it should have been. Inside the house, there was a loud thump. Ryan tipped his face upward toward the sky and wondered why he'd even bothered coming home. His penthouse apartment in Toronto was perfectly comfortable, and he had a great view of Lake Ontario. You know why, he said to himself. Ryan would never ever admitted out loud, but when he was licking his wounds, all he wanted was family around him. He'd been that way since he was a kid. Yet that wasn't the only reason he'd bolted out of Toronto at the first opportunity. He could see the stadium where his team, the Blizzards, played from his living room. It was also the place where they would be hosting their games after making the playoffs for the first time since a massive rebuild. He'd put up with the growing pains of the rebuild, like sloppy defense work while they rotated through position players, trying to find the right combination. He'd put up with stale bats and poor morale and a losing streak that had almost broken a franchise record. He'd put up with all of it for the hope of what would come. And this season, they'd sparkled like gold. Their young designated hitter was smashing balls out of every park, their third baseman was in line for MVP, and Ryan had his sights set on a Cy Young Award. All it had taken was one wrong move. Assisting a rundown between second and first, which would have been an important out for the game, but nothing wildly out of the ordinary. Certainly nothing he'd thought would end his season. But he twisted to avoid a collision with the runner and felt something give as he laid the tag down. A flare of pain so sharp it had made his eyes water and a cry catch in the back of his throat. Despair had flooded him as he'd pounded his fist into the earth, knowing in his heart it was more than a sprain. He should be there right now, taking the mound, securing the win, bringing his team to victory, not hiding away at home. Ryan pushed up onto his feet. It was no good sitting alone with his thoughts right now. That was the reason he'd come home. Distraction. He'd needed to be surrounded by people that wouldn't walk on eggshells around him, who wouldn't dwell on what he'd lost, who wouldn't remind him of how easily everything he'd worked toward could disappear. How long had he been outside? Surely, long enough that his parents had run out of puff, so to speak. Tentatively, he made his way to the door and creaked it open, ears straining. Silence. For a second, Ryan thought that Chapter 21 might be over. "Not like that," his mother's voice sounded through the bedroom wall, which backed onto the living room. "Bend over a bit more. That's it." Squeak, squeak, squeak. He was officially done. Thank God he'd been cleared to drive. He needed to get out of here, and driving around the sleepy, nighttime streets of Kissing Creek was the best option he had. As he walked through the house on the way to the front door, he spotted a book sitting on the coffee table. Stormy Pleasures was mostly black and white, but the spine and back were bright red, and this version had library stickers. A post-it note stuck to the front said, "Book Club with Sloane Rickman." Wow. Looked like the library book club had gone a little risque. The squeaking intensified. Okay, a lot risque. Shaking his head, Ryan headed to the front door and snatched his keys from the hook on the wall. Today, he was going to find a new place to stay, and then he was going to jam Stormy Pleasures through the garbage disposal. Sloane Rickman was living the dream. Granted, her personal dream looked a little different from the kind Hollywood tried to sell her. There was no tripping through city streets in an expensive pair of stilettos, no fancy apartment with a glittering view of a famous skyline, no hero waiting to scoop her up if she fell. Sloane was quite happy scooping herself back up at the moment. Not that she would reject the right Prince Charming if he and his white horse happened to trot on by. But her dream was more of the variety that included a small home with a veggie patch, friendly neighbors, and a coffee shop where someone asked her if she wanted the usual. Belonging. Now that was the dream. "Hello." A woman named Audrey, a.k.a. the best barista in town, waved as Sloane walked into the Cespresso Cafe. "I saw you heading down the street, so I took the liberty of making your vanilla latte extra shot, like always." "You're the best." Sloane grinned and all but bounded up to the pastry counter. Kispresso Cafe might be her favorite place in all of Kissing Creek. Well, aside from the library, where she worked. The cafe looked like the Barbie Dreamhouse version of a Starbucks, where all the staff wore pink aprons, and they even made specialty pink white chocolate mochas that were totally Instagram-ready. No filter required. "Did you want your almond croissant as well?" Audrey asked, her hands already reaching for the tongs inside the pastry cabinet. "Yes, please." Sloane dug her wallet out of the crossbody bag she had slung over her outfit. "How's school going?" "Good. Busy. Amazing." Audrey grinned. "I know I must be the only student who thinks every second of college is the best thing ever because of what happens inside the classroom. But I'm happy to be a weirdo." "You're talking to the woman who dresses almost exclusively in things with dinosaurs on them." Sloane swept her hands down to show off her 50s-style black dress, patterned with rainbow silhouettes of brontosauri. "We can be weirdos together." "That is one seriously cute dress," Audrey said, popping Sloane's croissant into a paper bag. "Did you know the name Brontosaurus means thunder lizard in Greek?" "I did, actually," Sloane replied. "Did you know Mick Jagger has 3 different extinct creatures named after him? Agrotocatellus jaggeri, Jagromeryx nada, and Anomphalus jaggerius." Audrey's face lit up. She was a sponge for interesting facts. "That's so cool." Sloane laughed and pulled her credit card out of her wallet to pay, but Audrey waved it off. "It's on the house." Audrey slid the takeout coffee cup and the paper bag containing her croissant across the counter. "My sister is going to flip when I share this new fact with her. She watched a documentary on the Rolling Stones while she was staying with our aunt, and now she's obsessed. I guess it's better than her watching TikTok videos." "Are you sure I can't pay?" "Please." Audrey held up her hands as the bell tinkling behind Sloane signaled that more customers had entered the cafe. "It's my treat." Sloane's chest warmed at the kind gesture. "Well, let me buy some of your muffins for the library staff, then. I'll get 4 of the blueberry bran, please." Shaking her head and laughing, Audrey piled the muffins into a bag, and this time she allowed Sloane to pay. "I hope everyone enjoys the muffins." "Oh, they will." Sloane stuffed a $5 bill into the tip jar before popping the bag of muffins into her tote and grabbing her breakfast. She nibbled on her croissant right out of the bag as she headed outside into the sunshine. October was Sloane's favorite month because of the pretty fall foliage, and this weather was the cherry on top of an already perfect morning. The trees were ablaze in shades of gold and rust and a rich red, and it was finally cool enough to wear a sweater over her dress. She took the long way around to the library, walking past the off-leash dog park so she could admire all the adorable furry creatures racing around in the morning sunshine. By the time she arrived at work, ready to relieve the librarian on the opening shift, she'd finished her croissant. Dusting the flaky crumbs from her dress, she touched up her lipstick before heading inside. The library had geared up for Halloween. Cutouts of jack-o'-lanterns, wailing ghosts, and black cats decorated the high wall in the children's area, and the What's Hot display out front had a great selection of spooky and atmospheric novels, perfect for Sloane's favorite time of year. She sipped her coffee and took a moment to straighten a book that had been moved out of place on the shelf, trying to decide what she was going to borrow next. Maybe it was time for a reread of Interview with the Vampire. "Sloane, I've been dying." One of the other librarians, a woman in her 60s named Pat, rushed over. She had dark, close-cropped hair flecked with silver, deep brown skin, and was known for her funky, bold accessories. Today, it was a thick stack of bangles and a hand-knit shawl in ruby red. "I slept in and didn't get my coffee on the way over." "You should have told me. I would have picked one up for you," Sloane frowned. "Yes, yes. And then you wouldn't let me pay you back, and I would have to feel bad because I know you've sunk everything into that little house of yours." She waved a hand in the air, and the stack of bangles clattered as they slipped down her arm. "Well, I brought blueberry muffins," she replied. "So no need to buy snacks, at least. I got enough for the team." "You're a sweet soul. I'm taking my break now." "Go, go," Sloane shooed her colleague away. "I can't have a dead librarian on my hands. My sleuthing skills aren't good enough to get me through a murder investigation." "You've been reading too many of those cozy mysteries." Pat shook her head, laughing, and grabbed her purse from the shelf behind the main counter. "I'll be back in a bit." The library was quiet now, but it would be busier later. Most days, they had 1 to 2 programs on the schedule to keep patrons rolling in. Sloane particularly enjoyed the toddler storytime sessions and after-school arts and crafts. But her favorite thing of all was running the Believe in Your Shelf book club. They met the 3rd Tuesday of every month and had been doing so for almost 10 years. Taking over such an established club was a huge honor, and Sloane wanted to bring her A-game. In the past, they'd stuck to typical book club-style books, like critically acclaimed fiction, memoirs, and wannabe commercial blockbusters that the publishers pushed in the hopes it would create the next Nicholas Sparks or Dan Brown. Sloane wanted to shake things up a bit by putting her own stamp on the club and broadening the fictional horizons of its participants. She'd always read widely and encouraged others to do the same. This year alone, they'd tried a bunch of new styles, from a horror graphic novel that was a surprise hit and an 800-page epic fantasy that had challenged everyone's idea of how much they could read in a month. And then there was this month's book. Holy moly. Sloane felt her cheeks grow warm thinking about it. Stormy Pleasures had been a bold choice, and she hadn't been sure how well it would go over. They'd done romance novels before, but erotic romance was a whole different ballgame from the warm and fuzzy happily ever afters they'd read in the past. She was a bit behind on the reading schedule herself, with work being busy and the upgrades she decided to tackle in her house. Oh, and the extra community activities she'd volunteered for. But at 5 chapters in, Sloane was already starting to understand why the book had been so talked about on release. Sloane stashed her bag behind the main counter, catching a glimpse of the book in question peeking out between the handles. The red spine stood out, calling attention to itself. Not that she had any concerns about reading a spicy book in public. Her job was to fly the flag for all books, and she enjoyed any chance to spark up a conversation with a curious potential reader. Sloane pottered around the library, stopping to say hello to the young mother and her toddler sitting in the kid-lit area and pushing the book cart around so she could return the returned books to their rightful homes. As she was going about her work, an electronic chime signaled that the front doors had opened. Sloane didn't need to greet everyone who came in, but when the library was quiet, she tried to at least wave or smile to make people feel welcome. She poked her head around the end of the aisle and blinked. The man who walked through the front doors of the library didn't look familiar. Kissing Creek might be a small town, but it was also a college town, and she didn't know everyone who lived here. Something told her, even if she'd only passed this man on the street, however, she would have remembered him. He was tall, easily 6'2" or 6'3", maybe more, and broad. He wore a fitted t-shirt with long sleeves that perfectly showed off the sculpted muscles in his shoulders, arms, and chest. Dark hair poked out from under a baseball cap, and even at this distance, she could see his eyes were an arresting, electric blue. He walked into the library with an air of confidence Sloane had always hoped to embody, but could never quite get right. Maybe being taller than everyone else naturally lent itself to having a presence. Maybe the air was better quality up there. Or maybe he was born like that. He wandered over to the nonfiction section and began to peruse the shelves. He was a reader? You know better than to judge a book by its cover, even if the cover was in pristine condition. Talk about cranking the hot meter up to 11. What was better than a big, muscly guy who loved books? She should probably go over there and see if he needed help selecting one. That was her job, after all. Yeah, going to talk to him is all about work, right? Shut up, brain, she muttered as she finished shelving the last book on her cart. Then she took a moment to smooth out the fabric of her dress, fluff up her ponytail, and check her teeth in the reflective material of the cart to make sure there were no rogue pastry flakes. But before she'd even made it past the front desk, the glass doors to the library slid open, and a llama walked inside. Chapter 2. A blood-curdling, bleeding sound startled Ryan so suddenly, he would swear it carved a decade off his life.
What the hell was that?
There was an older woman browsing in the same aisle as he was, and her head lifted as wide eyes swung in the direction of the front of the library. It's the llama. She pressed her lips into a line, and Ryan peered around the edge of the bookshelves.
Oh, shit. It is a llama. What the hell is a llama doing in here?
He looked back at the woman.
Did you know they made that kind of a sound? It's terrifying.
The poor woman looked pale.
She makes that sound when she's mad.
She?
Okay, so the llama must be known around town. Her coat was mainly white with patches of a warm brown on her face, neck, and hindquarters, and she looked like she'd run through some bushes thanks to the leaves and other bits of natural debris trapped in her fur.
Damn it, Lily!
Someone scolded the llama, but the beast seemed unperturbed. Lily stamped her foot. Or was it a hoof? Did llamas have hooves? They were related to camels, right? This is no time to lament how you should have paid more attention in school. The creature made that awful bleeding sound again, taking an aggressive step toward a shorter woman who shrieked at the sudden movement.
That llama is a menace.
The older woman shook her head.
You should help the poor librarian.
Do I look like the kind of guy who knows how to herd farm animals?
No. Ryan had about as much experience with four-legged creatures as he did with any kind of farm animals. Which was to say, none. But in Kissing Creek, you helped your neighbors. End of story. Didn't matter if it was a flat tire, or a cat stuck up a tree, or clearing the road after a storm had blown through. Or shooing a giant monstrosity of a llama.
Can someone call Devin?
The woman, whom Ryan assumed was the librarian, called out.
I don't want to make any sudden movements to get my phone. Tell him Lily's loose again.
I'll call.
The older woman grabbed her phone and tapped at the screen. But the llama was clearly after something. That's when Ryan spied a bag sitting on the checkout counter. He recognized the Cespresso Cafe logo. Was it after the food? That had to be one hell of a nose. He walked out from the aisle and crept toward the front of the library, the llama seeming to grow bigger with each step he took. She was, as his pitching coach would say, an absolute unit. He'd put her at 300 pounds and a hair under 6 feet tall, making her bigger than any of the hard-hitting sluggers he'd faced at the plate. Heck, he was pretty sure he'd seen smart cars that were more compact.
Are you okay?
He asked the librarian.
That remains to be seen. She turned to him, attempting to smile, but looking more than a little frightened of the creature. Her hair was the shade of espresso, and she wore a novelty dinosaur-printed dress. She had full lips and eyelashes that were thick and dark, making her eyes seem big and luminous. Starry eyes, the kind that shifted in the light, changing from silver to gray to blue, and refusing to be put entirely in one category.
I think she's after the muffins, she added.
I've heard stories about how she's always terrorizing the poor staff in the cafe, but I thought it was an urban legend. The llama bleated again.
Can we sacrifice the muffins? He asked.
If we must. She replied with a sigh. But I bought them for the team.
If we get out of this alive, I'll take you out for some replacement muffins.
The words shot out of him before he had time to think about whether it was wise to flirt with a woman while he was in his hometown, or while they were being stared down by a giant llama.
If muffins are considered flirting, man, you're way off your game. Maybe you should ask her if she knows about Chapter 21.
Did you proposition me in a life-or-death moment? The librarian shot him an amused look. Talk about taking advantage of the situation.
If we get out alive.
He glanced at the llama, who was growing impatient.
Which is definitely not guaranteed.
Lily ambled forward toward the checkout counter, but there was a railing in front, which usually directed traffic and was decidedly not sized for a beefy llama. The blood-curdling bleeding sound happened again. Ryan shuddered.
Right now, I'm putting our odds at 50-50.
Devin said he'd be here in 5, the older woman said from her safe vantage point in the aisle. He also said to get her outside if we can.
And how exactly are we supposed to do that? The librarian frowned. Maybe if we throw the muffin outside, she'll follow? I don't suppose you have a good arm.
Was she being sarcastic?
Or did she have no idea who he was?
I'm sure I can toss a muffin.
He crept closer to the swinging door that led to the circular area behind the checkout counters.
Can you make sure the doors stay open? I don't want her running through the glass and hurting herself.
Cute. Loves books and animals. Wow. Did she just call him cute? There's a button by the door. I'll go over there slowly. Keep her distracted. She looked at him. Ready?
We got this.
He let out a breath. There were a few other people in the library, and they were all hiding in the aisle, watching from a safe distance.
Hey, Lily.
Ryan made some kissy noises. Did llamas respond to that? He was so out of his depth.
Don't pay any attention to the nice librarian lady, okay? Keep your eyes on me.
He pushed through the swinging door to get behind the checkout counters and reached for the bag of muffins. The llama's eyes locked onto him with laser-like focus. She had long white lashes and crooked teeth that jutted out. He would swear she narrowed her gaze at him, as if to say, "Who the hell do you think you are, telling me what to do?"
"Since when does this town have a menacing llama?" he muttered.
Ryan reached for the paper bag, and the rustling sound was like fireworks in the quiet library. He extracted a muffin from the bag, and the llama's nostrils twitched.
"Smells good, doesn't it?"
He held the muffin up.
"If you leave these nice people alone, then you're going to get this tasty treat."
The llama stamped its foot again. Ryan had to admit, the muffin did smell good. The llama was getting impatient. She was moving her head back and forth, a slight snorting sound coming from her.
Uh-oh.
The librarian got to the front doors just as the llama charged at the railing.
"Oh, shit. You'd better hurry. She's getting mad."
The librarian hit the button for the doors to open, and the second there was a sizable gap, he threw the muffin as fast and hard as he could. He could only hope that the beast realized he didn't have it in his hand anymore. The muffin sailed through the air, and in that moment, Ryan learned two things. One, muffins made surprisingly decent fastballs, and two, there was nothing like having a large animal scream at you to make your life flash before your eyes. But to Ryan's relief, Lily was laser-locked on the muffin sailing right through the doors. It bounced onto the sidewalk, breaking into several crumbly pieces. She immediately trotted outside and started sucking them up like she had a vacuum attachment for a mouth.
"Close the door!"
The librarian jabbed at the button, but the doors weren't closing. The llama lifted its head and looked as though it was about to come back inside, when thankfully someone outside got her attention. A guy in a buffalo plaid shirt whistled, and Lily went from being a demonic, muffin-hungry nightmare to a docile, fluffy farm animal. The man raised his hand in thanks and led the llama away as if this was a totally normal occurrence. Ryan left the checkout area and went to the librarian,
who looked mildly traumatized.
Are you okay?
I'm fine, she said. That was a hell of a throw.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?